everyone. Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the weekend review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Joining us for the conversation today, I'm glad to welcome back Matthew Tormey, Equity Strategist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Matt, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Good morning, Siobhan, and thanks for having me back.
Let's get started. Heading into this week, there was a lot of anticipation over the direction of U.S. trade policy. What have we learned and how have markets been responding?
Yeah, there certainly was a lot of anticipation, Siobhan, because if everyone remembers, in the week after Liberation Day, President Trump announced a 90-day pause to the reciprocal tariffs. And this week, that pause was supposed to come to an end. However, President Trump did end up signing an executive order on Monday, which did extend the pause to August 1st, allowing more time for trade negotiations. Now, while the pause was extended, a number of letters were unveiled that were addressed to specific countries and what tariff rate would be applied to their imports. So just to recap a few of the most important developments, on Monday, the letters that were unveiled threatened new reciprocal tariffs on trading partners, which included charging 25% levies on imports from Japan and South Korea, and 25 to 40% on goods from another 12 countries and smaller Asian economies and South Africa. On Tuesday, President Trump said that he would impose a 50% levy on copper imports and up to 200% on foreign drugs. On Wednesday, a 50% tariff on all Brazilian imports was announced, and this came as a bit of a surprise to investors, given that Brazil was not on the initial list on Liberation Day, as the U.S. runs a goods trade surplus with Brazil. And in our view, it's not clear on what grounds the U.S. would implement this tariff. So given the possible legal hurdles, we think that the Brazil tariff threat is unlikely to become permanent. And just yesterday, President Trump threatened a 35% tariff on imports from Canada starting August 1st, which is up from 25% previously. And while details remain thin, a White House source did suggest the 35% tariff will not apply to goods compliant with the USMCA, but with the caveat that this could change. And then in a separate broadcast, President Trump made the comment that all of the remaining countries are going to pay, whether it's 20% or 15%, suggesting a new blanket tariff baseline level. Now, how have markets responded to all these developments? So while country indices such as the MSCI Brazil and Japan have responded a bit poorly, U.S. equities are at all-time highs and are up 26% from their post-Liberation Day lows.
Thank you so much for that overview, Matt. So what are your thoughts on current equity market valuations, and what is CIO's second half outlook for equity markets?
Yeah, great question, Siobhan, because these are the two questions our team has been receiving the most of over the last couple weeks. So starting first on valuations, the S&P 500 forward PE is now above 22 times, which is certainly high by historical standards. But I think it's important to put things into perspective with two observations. First, if we look at current macro conditions, a 22 times forward PE isn't fully out of whack given the low unemployment rate and inflation that we expect to cool once we get past some of the current tariff headwinds that could add upward pressure on inflation in the next couple months. And then second, the work that we've done in the past suggests that valuations have no relationship with returns over the next year or two, but rather there is a pretty good relationship with longer-term returns that could potentially be lower on an annualized basis. So just more so something to be mindful of. And then to the second part of your question, Siobhan, on the second half outlook. So we do have a neutral view on U.S. equities, which I want to reiterate is not a negative stance. But given the discussion we just had about where valuations are, it appears that investors are already pricing in a substantial de-escalation in both trade frictions and geopolitical tensions, which could potentially make the market vulnerable if any negative developments arise. And just to point out before I move on, U.S. equity markets are at all-time highs, which may make investors nervous, but if we do look back in history, forward returns over the next 1 to 3 years for the S&P 500 at all-time highs versus all other periods have been very similar. So we wouldn't recommend investors use this as an excuse to not engage with the equity market. Now, over the next few months, we think that stocks could potentially experience some volatility, with one reason being that retailers are starting to deplete pre-tariff inventory. So as a result, tariffed goods will start hitting the shelves soon, and our economics team expects this to lead to a slowdown in economic growth and an uptick in inflation. But if we look past the near term, we still believe the bull market's intact, and that once the economy adjusts to one-time tariff impacts, falling inflation and accelerating economic growth tends to be a favorable backdrop for stocks, and then the icing on the cake could be a resumption of Fed rate cuts later this year.
So what about recommendations with respect to equity positioning?
Okay, so with the backdrop that I just laid out in mind, so across sectors, we have attractive views on communication services, financials, healthcare, tech, and utilities. So starting with communication services first, we think that the sector is going to continue to benefit from opportunities in AI and a secular growth in digital advertising. But also another way of looking at the sector is through the telecom companies, which could offer a bit of defensive exposure if economic growth slows further than expected. On financials, this is a sector that we upgraded just last month, as we think that easing regulation, early signs of a pickup in capital markets activity, and improving net interest margins and income should support a recovery. On healthcare, a combination of policy clarity over time, attractive valuations, and a potential upside to earnings estimates for select companies should lead to a rebound in the sector, in our view. On tech, AI investment spending and adoption continue to both be a key driver, and the sector is also one of, if not the highest quality among its peers. And then on utilities, roughly 20 to 25% of the sector does have a material exposure to trends within AI, such as a growth in AI data centers that we expect to drive strong growth in power demand and lift prices. And then similar to the telecom companies within communication services, utilities is a classic defensive sector that should offer ballast in the portfolio if the economy does slow further.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, Matt, and I want to turn to next week. We'll be kicking off another corporate earnings season. What should investors expect?
Yes. So the much anticipated second quarter earnings season is officially upon us. And while we still could see quite a bit of uncertainty, which was the theme for the first quarter earnings season, fortunately for investors, we don't think it will be nearly to the same extent. So we're still in the process of finalizing our key messages to investors, but just to communicate some of our initial thoughts on how we think the coming weeks will play out, we are expecting to see continued resilience of the actual earnings themselves along with the guidance. As I mentioned earlier, we think there will be a bit more certainty from management teams relative to the first quarter earnings season now that the range of outcomes on tariffs is likely smaller and the one big beautiful bill has been signed into law. Incrementally, we could see slightly positive updates on the impact of the one big beautiful bill provisions as it relates to capital expenditures and R&D spending. And it's our expectation that we will see a slight slowdown in earnings per share growth in the second quarter versus 9% growth that we saw in the first quarter. And this will likely be driven by a normalization in growth rates for big tech. And there could be a little bit of headwinds from the energy sector given oil price levels. And then finally, the weaker U.S. dollar could end up being supportive after being a headwind last quarter. So to wrap up, in 2025, we are expecting 6% S&P 500 earnings per share growth to $265. And in 2026, we're looking for 8% growth to $285 per share.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt.
Thanks, Siobhan, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.